Okay, so we're going to now move on to talk about metastatic disease, and we kind of split it up in terms of pan-wild type, which I think is a term that I certainly have moved towards. If we can put Dr. Langer's slides up, please, and we'll talk about a couple of poll questions. But first, Corey is going to talk about initial upfront treatment, and then John's going to talk about maintenance therapy, which we heard a lot of questions about from these docs. But Corey, a couple of cases that were brought up by Dr. Rupard, who spoke with you on the phone. The first, and I'll start with John for this one, was a 50-year-old patient. If we could put up that case. Basically, a patient who had a car accident and had some images, and they found she was asymptomatic and found to have essentially metastatic adenocarcinoma, hilar lung lesions, poorly differentiated pan-wild type tumor. And we asked the audience, without knowing more details about the case, Corey, how they think they might approach first-line therapy. And we'll talk about what the audience thinks about maintenance in a second. But their general approach to the younger patient with pan-wild type metastatic disease. So let's see what they said, if we can put the results up. While we're doing that, John, what's your usual approach to a patient with metastatic adenocarcinoma, younger patient?
Yeah, so a younger patient, and I'll talk a little bit about the results of Point Break as well regarding the maintenance, is either to follow the ECOG 4599 regimen of carboplatin, paclitaxel, and bevacizumab, or carboplatin, pemetrexed, and bevacizumab. I actually lean a little bit more towards the latter. What I do in the maintenance setting, you know, we'll talk about it, is usually tailored, but I'm favoring carboplatin, pemetrexed, and bevacizumab.
So it looks like the audience, and we know this is an international audience, so we haven't split out the results here, but at least in this room, 21% of people are using CIS for a patient like this. But beyond that, a lot of carbo and a lot of pemetrexed and paclitaxel, as you might guess. Of course, Heather, actually, as it turns out, there was a little bit difference here, because this lady, and I'll just throw this out real quickly to see what you think about it, this lady also had a history of serious psychiatric disturbances, a hypomanic state, very difficult control with medication. So he was very concerned about corticosteroids, which brings up the issue of NAB paclitaxel as a possibility. Any thoughts about, first of all, how you would approach a patient in general, the younger metastatic adeno, and how would it change, if at all, if you knew the patient had this type of history?
So I think my first choice is very similar to what John was saying. I still use a lot of the carboplatin, pemetrexed, bevacizumab regimen, even though it was not found to be superior to carboplatin, paclitaxel, bevacizumab. Again, we get to the toxicity discussion, but I'll kind of discuss both with the patients. If I have a trial that's based on one of those platforms, I'll clearly go with that, but I do tend to use a lot of either of those and still use the pemetrexed. For patients who are going to have a bad reaction to corticosteroids, obviously you can't use paclitaxel because you really have to use steroids with that. Some patients are able to tolerate pemetrexed without getting a rash, without the steroids, and so I found that you can kind of dial down for a lot of folks with that. I think nab-paclitaxel is a very reasonable option. I don't think we know enough about it with bevacizumab yet for me to feel comfortable prescribing that, but I know it's being done, and I think, you know, if someone's had a bad paclitaxel reaction, I'll certainly consider it, and I will think about it first line if I'm not going to be using bevacizumab and I have some reason to believe they might not do well with paclitaxel.